The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yosef Greenwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Nida Daf Chof Hei. We discussed in the previous shiur classifying the different categories of Tumah, even though they sound like they're all subcategories of the same idea. A Nida, Yeledes, a Zava. Defining each one for itself, whether, first of all, whether they're classified as a mitzvah, whether they're only prote dinim of a tomein, which is a general, category of person that has dinim vis-a-vis kachim truma and so on. That's according to the Ramban. According to the Rambam, each parsha of tumah is kaveh shem bifnei atzma. And we explained that benegei to nida and yeledes. What's interesting is, we didn't point out in the previous year, the Rambam in Mitzvahs Tumah Zova, one of the Tumas that he has a mitzvah for, forgetting about the Karbonis, that's of course a mitzvah even according to the Ramban. The bringing, the act of bringing Karbonis is certainly a do, which counts as a mitzvah say, but the Rambam has also the mitzvah of Tumah Zova, with mitzvah Kovov. Interesting is that Reb Sadia Gaon, who's normally more liberal, like we pointed out, in breaking up one parish into separate Tumas, does not count Tumah Zova and Tumas Nida as two separate parishes. They seem to be part of the same thing. Zova and Nida are both tumois of a woman seeing dam. The chilik is only legabe the prote dina, but they're both part of the same pasha. The Rambam would seem to hold that they're two separate pashas. To understand this properly is totally an understanding of the whole process of you made nina and you made ziva. There's a machlex, the Rambam Rashi, how to count the days, the 7 days of nidus, and then 11 days where if she starts seeing dam, she becomes a zova. How to calculate those days and what the definition of you may nida, you may zivasas, and mitz Hashem asugis, further down the road in the Masechta. Not the time and the place for now. The Rambam, like we said, counts nida and zav as two things. It's two parts of a woman, that could become tummy. Two separate parashis of tumah. Another point that's interesting to point out over here, legabe classifying zav and zava. Zav and zava would seem to be similar in concept, and the carbon that they bring is the same carbon. And the Rambam himself, in Sefer Mitzvahs, in Mitzvah Ayin Hei Legabe the Karbonos, makes note of the fact that it's a chiddush to count the Karbonos of Zov and the Karbonos of Zov as two separate mitzvahs. The way he explains it over there is interesting. The Rambam says that if we're talking about a woman and a man having to bring a karmach chatos for averis they did, the fact that the woman has her averis and he has his averis, they're all the same idea of a kapora on a certain level of chet, a carbon has to be brought, ish v'isha would be the same thing. The fact that they're two different people would not differentiate as two different mitzvahs. The concept and the application is the same. By zov and zova, he says that the carbon is not brought as a kapora on a avera, on a chet. He says the carbon is brought to be mitaher, to do away with a certain state. The state of a zov and the state of a zova, he says, are two different states. One's a man, one's a woman. A woman is a woman, and a man is a man. Two different people, two different types of people, have two different states. Two different states, and mechayev two different karbonos. That's why he counts them separate. There's a mokum l'iyun over here. In the Indian of Zov and Zov, there's a machloikis, a technical machloikis, but it's important over here, and we're going to point this out biyachas to a fascinating discussion in Neid Bihuda, which is quite negei halacha l'maisa. Rashi, in Yuma Daf Yud Ches, understands, Rashi explains over there that Ziva and Shichva Zera, the tumah of Zera, that's Yotzim Yigufo Yish, is two different things. The flow which turns him into a Zov, and the flow which turns him into a Balkeri, Yitzir, Shichva, Zer, Menaguf, are two different things. The physical Mitzirus is two different things. Rambam and Pirusha Mishnayis and Mishnayis Zovin understands on a technical level that it's not true. What comes out of the Zov's body is the same thing as Zera in a regular emission of Keri or a Maisa Tashmish, but he says it comes out in a form Zera bilti mevushel, which means that there's a liku, he says, in the reproductive system of the male. Doesn't mean a permanent, but right now there's something wrong in the zera that comes out of him, comes out bitsuro eine mushlemes, which means that the mitzius is the same. It's just instead of coming out properly in a way that could be mazria, in a way that could produce, that could be produce reproduction, it's coming out in a way that can't. It's a likui, it's a hedar chson in the reproductive system functioning properly. That's what ziva is. Imkain, ziva and zera is really the same thing. By the woman, also, as well, l'chor, the dam that comes out of her guf, bimei ziva, when she shouldn't be seeing dam, is also a likui in the reproductive system, so to speak. So l'chor, they're both the same thing. The woman has a tumor that results from a likui in her reproductive system, and the man could become tumor ziva by a likui in his reproductive system. L'chor, they should be the same thing. So here we have a chilik that the Meshech Chochma points out, a fascinating piece of Meshech Chochma. He points out, he's medayik in the psukim in Parshas Metzora, when the Torah brings the din, how Zov is mitayr himself from his tumah, the Torah uses the lashon as follows: v'chi yitoyer hazov mizoyvoy. When the Zov will be mitayr himself from his state of zivus. B'loshen osid, when he will. A zova, the Torah says, v'mtoaro mizova. If she has already been mitayr herself from her state of a zova. B'loshen ovar, hamikra midor sheni. What's the pshat? So he brings an Eid Yehuda. The Eid Yehuda is in Yerudea, Kamo, Simen Samach Gimel. And the Eid Yehuda one has a whole back and forth discussion with somebody. It's negeh different, we've brought up different in Yonim of Sveikos, it's going to be a shayla how to be toilet. When there's a makah, ksomim, the shayla how much to be makamir, with ksomim, and the lomdash and akuda of which the Eid Yehuda and the shayl discuss back and forth, how to look at Sveikos of Nida, and how to look at, interpreting different re'iyos of dam, depends on the state of chazaka. The all-important point of how we look at a woman, is she becheskes tara, is she becheskes tumah? If she's becheskes tara, so then we have to explain away. Or the natir would be to explain away any riyas dam, if there's no becheskes tara, so then that wouldn't be the case. And in this discussion, the natir wants to know what happens. Obviously, when a woman is tohira, she has a becheskes tara. The whole first parak is based on that. The din of being mitamer her lamafreya is only a din derabonon mideraisa till when a woman starts to see she has a cheskes tayra. When a woman is in beemtza a flow of dam, so there we have the all important fact that she's becheskes tumah, and that's why the dinim of hefsek tayra are so stringent, are so chomer, is because she has to break out of the cycle of being a roya and she has to establish herself as a woman who's not in the midst of seeing, which is why a regular bidika might not be enough. If she's actively seeing dam that day, then she needs a moichdochuk. There are certain cases where a moichdochuk, even though we pass a moichdochuk as a hider, there are certain cases where a moichdochuk is an absolute necessity. She has to be mafsik bitara to break the pattern of chazaka. The question that was thrown about between the Neid Yehud and the Shoyal is, what do we do with the state of a woman who stops seeing dam? Right now she has no blood coming out of her body, but she wasn't toivel yet. She's tomei practically, because she's toich shivin nikim, but she's not in a state of seeing dam. Then some dam comes out, she has a stain, and the question is how to look at that. Do we look at that as a woman with a cheskas that she's not seeing dam? In which case maybe we would be more makel on explaining away the dam that was now seen on the clothing or whatever it is. Or do we say no? We say she's becheskes tumah. So she's becheskes tumah. She's becheskes to see. That's the question that was back and forth. The Meshech Chochmas Hachro, Rimei Simcha, Hachro, as a poisik, in that shaila and svora, is to say that in Nida Nezova, the dam that that a woman sees is dam that's supposed to be there. The dam is in her body. The dam comes out at different points in time. There's no chazoka that she's not going to see dam. The fact that a woman who didn't see dam at all is assumed becheskes tahara is because she's in a state of tahara. A woman who's bemsa shivin akim is in a state of tumah. To say that she's not going to see dam, that dam is usual. That's not an aberration of her status. A woman sees dam. That's part of her system. It's supposed to be there. Memela toich shivin akim, all she has going for her when she's tahara is the fact that she's becheskas tahara. She doesn't have that b'mei shivin akim. Says Rimei Simcha, Mashenkin by Azov. Let's say Azov had a Re'iyah Zivo 3 days and he became Azov and now he has to count Shivanakim before he brings a carbon and he's Matire himself. Over there he has a Cheskes Aguf. Why? Because Zivo is an aberration in his bodily function. It's an aberration in his bodily systems. If he stopped seeing, he has a Chazoka that his body is functioning properly. He has a Cheskes Aguf. It's not just a Chazoka that he's Tohor Befoil, that he's Toyer in Din. It's on the physical state of his body working properly that the Zera shouldn't come out. Betzura, that there's a choili, that there's an aberration of how it comes out of his body. On that he has a cheskes haguf. He explains, Memele, beautifully, that the pasuk v'chiyite azov mizoivoy. When is a woman, when does a zov assume a status of Tohor that he's not in a state of Ziva, even Toich Shivanakim? Tekshiv Nakim, we don't see him anymore. If there would be a Sofik, we would give him a state of Tahara. Why? Because he has a Cheskes Haguf. Any Sofik we would explain away as a Cheskes Haguf that his body is now functioning properly. The Blush of the Pasuk is, V'chiyitar Hazov Mizoivoy, he's already Tekshiv Nakim. We look at him already as not a Zov. The fact that he couldn't be Toivol is just a technical, he has to be Toivol to get rid of the tumor, but he's not any more a Zov. So V'chiyitar Hazov Mizoivoy, he's already out of that state. When will he be mitar himself befoiled to go to the mikvah? Only lasted after the 7 days. He's standing in the middle of the 7 days. And he will be mitar himself. He's already done. He will be mitar himself. Zova, when she's toich shiva yomim, she's still in the state of being tmeya. She has her chazok gives her a status of tmeya. So Mela, when can we look at her in terms of her change? Only after it's done, after she goes to the mikvah. And she now has a chesed tyra. That's already past tense. Vim toaro mizoivo. After she's toivel, she's gone to the mikveh, she's toiru befoil, then she's already not a zova. A zova becomes oizova only after a mikveh. A zov becomes oizov toich shivanakim. He has to be mitire himself by being toivel in the mikveh after waiting 7 days. Beautiful explanation in the pasuk. Hayoytze me'advarim, legabi what we started discussing. Do we look at the physical state of a zovo and a zov as the same physical state as a likui in the reproductive system? No. According to the Meshech Chochma, the way he explained is a zovo, when she sees dam, that's a usual function of her body. The function of her body is to become tmei mipam lapam, from time to time. A zov, that's not the usual functioning of his body. So in Cain, we understand that the state of tumah, of Tumazov, and the state of Tumah, of Tumazova, is two different states, and that's why it's two different mitzvahs. That's the way we understand, according to the Rambam. We bring another place where two seemingly the same type of dinim seem to have a chiluk based on a diuk, on a proper, intense reading of the psukim, is a tremendous chiddush that I saw brought down b'shem the Tshuvas HaGoyinim. It would seem that it comes from Rav Haigoin. We certainly don't paskin this way, but it's a fascinating discussion unto itself. There's two tumas which seem to be the same thing, and they brought down the Rambam as the same thing. A tumah of a balkeri. A balkeri sees not willingly, sees as an emission that he has. So he's tamein, he's mechuyav to be mitayer himself, as well as Zera that came out, Bishas, the act of Tashmish. Shichva Zera seems to be the same thing. The fact that one is willingly, and one is b'mokah mitzvah, and one is a tumah, that's ba'inis, shaloi b'mokah mitzvah. Even bordering on Naveru, we have an Naveru of Al Tahar b'yoyim, v'yovil de'keri b'alayla. The Gemara says in the first parak, not to be overly boid. In the second parak, not to be overly boidik, in order not to be maybe l'dechimum. The Rav Haigun is medayik in the psukim. The pasuk lamaisa is two different psukim. The pasuk that says by Balkeri is v'rochatz kol besoroi b'mayim. B'shich v'zera, derech shchivo, the pasuk says v'rochatzu b'mayim. It does not say v'rochatz kol besoroi b'mayim. It says v'rochatzu b'mayim. Says Rav Haigun, a tremendous chiddush, that if it doesn't say v'rochatz kol besoroi b'mayim, it means only v'rochatz, the part of his body which was affected, me'avneitoi, from the waist, l'chayro, from the navel, ul'lemato, and l'chayro tzedvapela. You have the same ma'isa, l'chayro, the same mitzius hametame, but since the posuk is medayik, to say it differently, So Mimele, we see that the tumah is two different tumahs. Now, that's clear. The Rambam, all the money mitzvahs bring it down as one mitzvah. Maybe according to the Rav Hai, if we would have a sefer from Rav Hai going on minyan mitzvahs, he would count it as two things. That's a point as far as the classification is concerned. On a more basic level, what's a pella is that there's a din v'rochatzu b'mayim me'avneter lamata. What type of din is that? Is that a ma'aseh tvila? Do we ever find tvila on a half a body? Is that tvila? What is that? That's called washing off the part of the body. Also, the tumah l'chor is not on that part of the body where the emission is. The tumah is chal al yidei the emission on himself, on the person. The person l'chor is not divided up into half. This Rav Haigoin is a pella. I'd like to point out just a parallel to a similar idea, not so much the idea that only Me'avneter Lamata becomes Tami. That I don't have an explanation for that. But just as far as understanding the idea of a Tvila, which doesn't by definition include Kol Gufo. Meaning, say, if there's an idea of a Rochatz, which is the Torah's way of saying Tvila in a Mikvah, and it's Shaykh to hear that only half the person's in the water, and that's called Tvila, I'd like to point out a parallel to someplace else where this comes up. It's not really negated to the sugis in front of us, but it's an interesting maramokim that doesn't really have a place in sugis hashas, and it's a mitzvah lefarsim. There's a shita that was brought down, Rabbeinu Tam's Sefer Yosha, the Sefer, Rabbeinu Tam's Chuvis, and discussions, disagreements with other Rishonim. Rabbeinu Meshulam, it would seem, is not one of the better known Rishonim. It's not Rabbeinu Meshulam that wrote Svarim. This is Rabbeinu Meshulam that was one of the Gedolei Hador in Provencia, which is the area of southern France, which had some Svardi Minhagim and some Ashkenazi Minhagim. It was a blend between the Svardic and the Ashkenazic schools of Limud and Minig. And over there, Rabbeinu Meshulam read Tupsukim, and he came out with a surprising conclusion, Lahalocha. And Rabbeinu Tam brings it, because it was written to Rabbeinu Tam as a Psak Halacha, and Rabbeinu Tam responds vehemently. What was the interpretation of Rabbeinu Meshulam? The Pasuk says, V'rochatz es besorei b'mayim. The Pasuk does not say, V'rochatz kol besorei b'mayim. And he brings this down, b'negei zov, and the other tumas. When we talk about Balkeri, Shech Vezer, the Halacha is that he has to be tevel in a mikvah. V'rochatz kol besorei b'mayim. Legabi Zov, the Tvila of a Zov has to be done by Mayim Chaim. He can't be tevel in a regular mikvi, he has to be tevel by Mayim Chaim. Over there the Pasuk says, V'rochatz es besorei b'mayim. And Rabbeinu Meshulam explained that Tvila in a regular mikva has to be kol gufoi b'yachar, has to be his whole body in one shot. The way we know Tvila to be, a woman goes down, Chalila, if her whole body is not submerged, you have to be very careful about it, and that's why they have the mikvah lady to check. Her whole body, including her hair, has to be submerged together. We're very machmir on that. That's Likuva, the Raisa. The Tvila is not a Tvila if part of her body is out of the mikvah. Says Rabbeinu Meshulam that the reason why the Pasuk doesn't say V'rochatz kol besorei is because by Mayim Chaim the Tvila does not have to be the way. He brings Tzushtal, he brings a Dimi, that by Mayim Chaim the Halacha is, the Mishnayis and Mikvoyim seem this way, that the shear of Arboim Sod, that we know to be the shear of a mikveh, is only true by a Mayim of water that's Mekunis B'mokim Echad, a mikveh. Mashenken, when you're talking about a Mayon, the shear is Kol Shehu. The Maisi, it can't be Tevil in less than Arboim Sod, because that's the size of a human body. But let's say a person was smaller, could be midirabon or not, but let's say the Moshul Mikvois would be mavur legabia, if somebody has to be tovel a kli, that he could be tovel in a mayon, even where there's no arboim saw. So he says the same way there's no shear that it has to be called besora bibasachas. One point to Rabbeinu Meshulam. Well, let's forget about the Raya's. Rabbeinu Tam goes on a blistering attack against Rabbeinu Meshulam. But one point is clear. Rabbeinu Meshulam does not see as a basic definition of tvila, of the act of tveling in a mikvah, the whole body being in the water. Normally, lulei dvar vakdoshim, we would say that the musig of tvila doesn't mean getting wet, doesn't mean going under the water. It means where the person whole body is submerged kulei bebasachas. By definition, if part of the body is not in the mikveh, that's not a tvila. Rabbeinu Meshulam seems to understand that the way. Tvila means to submerge that part of his body. theoretically, why not submerge half your body and then submerge the other half of the body? There's a shear. The same way the size of a mikveh is the size of kol gufoy, the shear of the chshivas of how much your body has to be submerged is all of your body. But where there's no shear, where a tefillah in a mayon is, even where a mayon is called shuhu, so there's no shear how much has to be submerged in the mikveh b'basachas. Tvar pela. But that's l'chayr what it says in Rabbeinu Mishum. Rabbeinu Tam doesn't seem to accept this as a basic definition. There's a fascinating Tosefos on this. It's said over in Brisk, b'shem Reb Chaim Brisker, the grandfather of the Roshivis, that Reb Chaim was asked a hypothetical question. What would be if it would be shaykh to be toivel? One person would be shaykh to be toivel his body in two mikvois. Not really possible, because if you're going to be in two mikvois, there's going to be a wall separating. If it's two mikvois, that means there's a wall in between. If there's a wall in between, part of the body's out. But theoretically, as a hypothetical question, is there a din that to be toivel in a mikveh, the person has to be submerged in one mikveh? Or that the person's whole body has to be submerged? What's the difference if it's one mikveh, two mikvois? According to Reb Chaim said, it's toluy in the machlokes between Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Mishulam. Sosam v'leipirish kedarka v'akoydish. Lefim ha-shabiyarnu, l'chor the nekuda, at least the point that we're bringing out for Rabbeinu Mishulam, is that there's no, by definition, that tefillah means a person is submerged. The act of tefillah means that he's totally submerged. The body of the person is submerged in the water. What it means is, there's a ma'isa tefillah that he has to go under the water. Theoretically, he could do half his body. He could do the other half of his body. There's a shear in how much has to be in the mikveh. The same way, if you have two mikvahs, the same way each mikveh is possible if each one is 20 so. The way to make two mikvahs that each have 20 so is only when you do a tziruf, Hashoka and so on, between the two mikvois. If each one is a separate mikvah, there's a shear in each one. If there's a shear in each one, there's a shear in the Maisa Tvila that the whole body has to be in that mikvah. L'chayra, that's what Reb Chaim had to say. Whereas according to Reb Netan, that's not the textbook definition of Kol Besori. Kol Besori means that Tvila by definition means that the person Kilu doesn't exist. His body is cooling in the water. By the way, Alpi Maral and Alpi Sifri Kabbalah, the inyan of Tvila is that a person's tummy, how does he step out of a state of Tumah? Similar to Tshuva. Tshuva is compared to Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. The idea is that when a person's inside the Mikveh, he's in a place where he has no life. A person can't live underwater, we're not fish. And when a person comes out, Kilu, he assumed the new Metzius. The textbook definition of Tvila, Lefi this Derech Machshava, is for the person to be kulay submerged. It doesn't make sense. If half his body is in, half his body is out, there's still a person there. He wasn't in his battle. The old him didn't melt away in a state of his batlos by being submerged. Okay, that's as an aside. But Al-Kabanim, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the textbook definition is being kulay in a mikveh. Where does it say anything about one mikveh? It's not a shir. It means that the person's body has to be tovul legamri, that you do have, even if it's two mikvois. That's what Reb Chaim meant to say. It's just an interesting Tosefos on what we brought out, Legabe, Balkeri, and Sheikh Vazera, where there's a Maisa Tefillah, where it's Meduik in the Torah, there might be a Maisa Tefillah according to Reb Chaim, which doesn't have to be Alkol Gufay.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for Halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.